Good morning. If you don't know me because you're a guest, my name's Josh. I have the privilege to serve as lead pastor here. If you do know me, you know that I am a giant crybaby. If you do not know me, nice to make your acquaintance. And so, we're a non-denominational church. Led by a super duper systematic guy. I love systems and I like order and excellence and like my love language is perfection. You know, I just like things to work. I like to win. I can't stand to lose. I'm incredibly competitive. And so there are things, man, that when things work, I want to keep doing what works. And when things don't, I want to modify as fast as possible. So I'm emotional because I like sense the presence of God in this room. So I wear this dog tag every day, almost every day. And it's got my leadership, like life verse. Maybe that's a little corny, whatever. But it's like my life verse that I want to lead by, and it's a reference to King David. It's, I'll pull it together, hang on. I'll get there. It's found in Psalm 78, 72. And it says this of David, that he led them, being Israel, God's people, he led them with a true heart and a skillful hand. Man, when I read that verse, I mean, just a handful of years ago, I've been following God a long time. It was like revelation. You ever have one of those moments where like maybe you've read it a lot, but it's like whoa, like something's in there. And it was sort of popped like that for me a few years ago. And so I said, that's who I want to be as a leader. Like, I want to be that pastor. I want to be someone who leads with like a pure heart. In other words, like, I want to do it right. Does that make sense? Like, no smoke, no mirrors, nothing phony, just legitimacy and authenticity. Like God, I just want to do it right. I want God to be able to say, like, good job. Like, I'm proud of that. But I also want to be good at it. Like, I want to have a skillful hand. Does that make sense to everybody? You ever worked for a boss? It was like the coolest person ever. You just loved her. You would totally hang out with her. But nothing ever really got done. She had a really good heart, but she really wasn't a very skillful leader, or vice versa. You ever worked for the tyrant? I mean, they were just brutal, but efficiency. Man, stuff came together. I don't want to be either of those. I want to be both of those. I want stuff to just work, and I want you to want to hang out with me. So I say all this to say that every once in a while, feel like the systematic, skillful handed, at least it's what I'm aiming for, leader. Okay, at least I'm aiming to be good at it. But that systematic consistency wins sort of a thinker has to understand that God has a bigger plan. And so every once in a while, God will change our plan. And so we kind of have a thing, I don't know, it's not like widely known, but at least internally, we kind of say a thing. And this is what we say. Okay, maybe for the first time, if you're a team member, you're hearing it for the first time. Maybe you've heard it before, some of you. I'm going to use this as a teaching moment. Here's what I like to say. that at Church on the Rock, we will always, always, always have a plan. Every time. If we're doing something, it will be planned and excellent. But at Church on the Rock, we will always dump the plan if God makes a change. 100%. Excellence, the plan, true heart, yielding to the Spirit of God. Sometimes managing that is tough, and so I stand on the front row in worship wondering, am I the only one feeling what I'm feeling? God, are you trying to do something? Am I about to go wreck the plan for nothing? Or are you trying to move in this room? So our team is not prepared to go back into worship. But they're skilled. Skillful hands, true hearts represented behind me. Our team in the back, wonderful and ready. Our team, y'all don't even know there's a team back there doing stuff so that we have an online presence, wonderful and ready. And so what I would love to do, if you're one of our approved prayer partners, I'd love to just invite you maybe to come toward the front. Because here's what I believe. I'm not convinced that a sermon is going to serve you best today. And I'm ready. I got my notes. I'm just not sure that's what's the plan for some reason today. What I do believe is that some of you, what you need rather than a message is an encounter with God Almighty. Who wants to really connect with you in a real genuine and authentic way today. And so let me explain something, okay? So that everybody has, I want you to feel comfortable in this atmosphere. You at this point now have permission to stand, to sit, to kneel. You can lie down, doesn't matter. I'm about to introduce you to what a 7 a.m. Tuesday morning prayer service looks like. We call this our prayer posture. And I'm inviting you to find your posture. Some of you may want to begin to pace around the room. I'm a walker when I pray. I like to just move. And so I tend to pace, and you're free to do that. Basically, I want to set you free in this atmosphere to be comfortable. Here's something else I want you to know, is that when the band is playing, it creates a bit of a competition when people are praying. So there's a sound of worship, and then there's like the sound of prayer. So David is trying to pray with Frank, but we're also simultaneously worshiping, and it creates a little bit of a competition there for sound. Does that make sense? And so what I want to give the prayer partners the freedom to do is, if people come to pray with you, take them, if you need to take them 30 yards down the aisle, go to the lobby. I want you to be able to effectively pray with people and not have to compete with the sound of the music. And then I want you, if you're saying like, I want to receive prayer today, invite them to move if you would prefer that, okay? So like, let's just not have only prayer here, and let's just not only have worship there. Let's just create a mix of the thing. Our team is going to take us back into some worship, and what we're going to do is we're just going to let the Spirit of God lead us for the rest of this service. We're just going to just bask. I believe that His presence wants to move in someone's life like perhaps you've never experienced it before. And so we're going to just dump the message today. I'm going to just be praying and pacing and letting God speak to me. And if I feel like He put something in me to share with you today, it's going to be small, not long. But I believe it's going to be pertinent to you. And I'm just going to let the Spirit of God lead me. And I want you to let the Spirit of God lead you. I want you to let the Spirit of God lead you as we just lead our church. Not in a service. It has a plan and it has a system, but in an atmosphere that has a presence. And if you're uncomfortable with this, embrace it for a few minutes. Embrace it. Just welcome it. Just sit and observe. Just allow yourself to be a part of something maybe you've never experienced before. Does this sound fair, everybody? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just pray. And then I want to just, I don't have guidance for you, but I trust you. And I just want us to just be in the presence. Yeah. I can feel it. So, Father, we yield. We yield. Oh, man, we just... God, we get out of the way. We purpose, Father, to invite you to meet us here in this room. God, would you just have your way in us, Lord Jesus? Would you just move among us here today? Because there are people in this room, I have no doubt, that are desperate for an authentic, real touch from you. And so, Father, we just put our plan to the side. We push our own agendas away. Father, in this moment, I want you to join me in this prayer and make it about you. Father, we push away every distraction possible. We push away everything that would hinder us from just hearing from you, experiencing you, listening to you, seeing you in this moment, Father. And we just invite you, Lord Jesus, to have your way in us, Lord God. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we would experience your presence, Lord God, that we would recognize you near us and longing to connect to us. And I just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, in this time that we have, Lord God, that we would fully embrace all that you have for us right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship without a plan. Let's just worship this morning.
Something I maybe should have mentioned is Jasmine is a great example down front. Face everybody. Jasmine's wearing a lanyard. So if you need prayer, find anyone with a lanyard. And they have moved some of them to the lobby intentionally. And so I just want you to make your way and find people to pray with you. And can I just pray? I just want to lead. I want to show you. Can I show you what prayer looks like? The disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Teach us to pray." They said, "Teach us to pray." And what I want to do is I'm going to pray, and I want you to just begin to pray. Father, we just worship you in this place. We magnify you. Father, we just exalt you above the challenges that we are facing. We exalt you, Lord God, above every obstacle in our lives. We see them, Lord Jesus, for what they are. And we call them out for what they are. We understand that there is an adversary, an enemy, that is trying to destroy our lives. We see, though, who you are, Lord Jesus, and your willingness to be close and to be near. Father, that you have a desire to encounter. You, Lord God, want to be close to your people. So, Father, we just ask and pray that you would draw near to us right now. We thank you, Lord God, that your word makes promises and tells us that you are near the brokenhearted. And so, Father, I know without a doubt there are people in this room whose hearts are broken for whatever reason. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe they're mourning something gone wrong in a business. Maybe it was the loss of a job. Maybe it was unmet expectations. Father, and perhaps something has derailed them emotionally in their lives, and their hearts as a result are broken. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your promise is that you are near the brokenhearted, that you are close to the brokenhearted, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you are close, and we just welcome you. We invite your presence in to help to heal the brokenness on the inside of us, Lord God. And we just ask you, Father, that you would do what only you can do in our hearts and in our lives, Lord God. We need your touch. We need your power. We need vision from you.
Take a moment to remember.
We just pray in Jesus' name, Lord God. We just pray in Jesus' name that you would mend the hearts of the broken in this room today. In Jesus' name, we worship.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my Lord again. I'll take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my Lord again. Oh, I'll take a moment to remember.
Good. today to show you where he was and who he was in that situation. Lord, I thank you for rebuilding our mindset over the past, for showing us who you were, God, in those moments, for showing us where you were, God. Know that, sing that. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. We lay it down.
Is this mic on? Yeah, you can hear me. Good. I want to share. Can I just talk to you for a second? Just a second. I want to just share. There's where I've been the whole time. Like, God, what are you doing? What do you want me to say? What's right in this moment? There's just one verse in all of my notes, one that I feel like God wants me to share before we close today. And I'm going to do that. I want to share, man, it's incredible where God has taken our church. It's incredible. By the way, if you're a guest, I'm really sorry. You have zero experience, really, about what a normal service looks like around here, but thanks for being a part of this. I hope it didn't disappoint you, but I would honestly, respectfully, rather disappoint you than the Lord. And so I was just like, yeah, I thank God this is what you're saying and doing, and so let's just go. But man, we've been through a lot as a church. Our church will turn 30 years old next month. 30. It's pretty crazy. Clearly, I did not plant the church, but have been the pastor here for almost 12 years, and have been a part of this church for like 23 or something, like long time. I can say this with such confidence. I have seen the very best and the very worst of the Church on the Rock story. I've lived it, been a part of it. The only thing I wasn't a part of was its birth. And man, we've been through some stuff as a church, you know, the church, and I'm sure it affected a lot of sectors, but as pastors and church families, man, the reality of COVID and the way that it impacted our abilities and inabilities to gather was one of the worst things I've ever led through. It's one of the most challenging, I don't even know how to put it in words, but I don't miss it. I'm going to tell you right now. It was very, very, very difficult. And a lot of time where you're just like, I don't even know who the church is right now. I don't know. Yeah, you guys are good if y'all want to. I mean, y'all can hang with me, but I don't want you to feel obligated to if you don't want to. That wasn't me trying to be ugly and kick you out either. Love you guys. Thank you for serving. There was a lot of times where I don't even know who our church is. Like, I don't know who's with us. I don't know who's still connected. We were online for a long time. I looked at a camera for months and didn't get to look in your faces. And you know, then we start gathering back and all this stuff. And then once we start coming back together, you know, we started to recognize, like, all right, our church is still strong. I mean, you know, we still had healthy attendance, and we were right back into two services. And the opportunity opened for us. We own a building, by the way. It's just right across that little street right there. It's ours, debt-free. An opportunity opened for us to move into this room, which gave us room, like, to really grow. And we had a lot of prayer and more meetings than you can possibly imagine to come to the conclusion that we felt like this is what God wanted us to do, was come here and set church up and take church down. And we just gave our entire campus to our kids, and just they needed room to grow too. So there wasn't enough space for anybody. And so that's why we had to do one service, and then it grew to two services, and then it grew to three services, and we were about to launch our permanent fourth service. We made that announcement about 8 days before COVID shut the world down, and then this happened. And so the Church on the Rock family has been through enormous transition. We've been through like 3 years of it, constant change, and that's tough. That's hard on everybody. That's hard on leaders. That's hard on team members. It's hard on attenders. It's hard. It's not easy. And I'll start by saying thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for those that have just been through it all with us, been through that ride. Thank you for those that have connected to us since then. Maybe you moved in or just whatever. God led you here. It doesn't matter. However you got here, if you're here, I consider you part of our team, and I'd do anything for my teammates. I love y'all. I really do. And so one season of challenge to another, you know, has kind of brought us here into this reality. And it hasn't been easy either, you know? You'd like to think so, but it's been enormous challenges in this transition as well. A lot. Challenges like getting the proper sound in the room has been a real challenge. To produce excellent online content has been challenging. Setting up and taking down, getting the right temperature in the room has been something I've nearly jumped off bridges over. And crazy. Maintaining connectivity to the next generation of our church because we are on two locations now. Having some awkwardness to where parking is to front doors, and we purchased some trolleys, and we've done everything in our stinking power to try to make it as comfortable as possible and remove every barrier possible. And it's been a lot, you know, a lot. I'm going somewhere with all this, okay? But it has been a lot. And to be quite vulnerable, it's really a lot to be the final decision maker, because those decisions, it's like throwing a rock into a lake. It creates a wake. It creates effect on people. And so there are some that didn't stick around for some of our transitions. And that hurts. That's hard. I mean, you get it, right? Like, I want what God wants for you, but I also want you to be here. There's selfishness in there. I'm not going to lie about that. I want you here. But I would like to say that I believe this. I really believe this, that we're supposed to be here now. Like, church, this, if you know the story of the Israelites, they were in Egypt in slavery. These are God's chosen people, and they were brought into captivity and lived as slaves for generations. And God sent Moses, and you guys have all seen the movies, Let My People Go. And God was calling his people to a promised land that he, you're going to like it here. It's going to be great. But there was the span of time that God's people wandered around the desert. It took them years to take a journey that probably in a direct path should have only taken weeks. That wilderness time was so important to God's people, because God had taken his people out of slavery, but he had to get slavery out of his people. And that's a process, because I can be free from being a slave and still think like a slave. I believe with all of my heart that somehow, as a storyline of our church, right now we're in the wilderness. God took us out of that. I mean, we still use it, right? Like, it's not like it doesn't exist. Prayer services happen there. 21 days of prayer when it comes in January and August. We will meet there every day. And our Camp Rock kids, I mean, they crush it. That atmosphere is so electric and alive, and that team is awesome. And so it's not like it went away, but like now we've sort of, I mean, us in this room, like, we're here, and for those of us serving on the team, it's not easy to set it up and to take it down and to fight some of the challenges. Y'all have no idea that we, well, don't say this to them, but, like, we disassemble sets for plays and stuff that I'm like, it's more than just putting this up. Like, it's a lot. And I can't tell you how many nights I've laid there and thought, have I led us in the right path? You know? Yeah. A lot on the line. A lot of lives, a lot of resources, a lot of money. I need to get to the point. I believe it that we're supposed to be here for some reason. And I'll be honest with you. I am an Israelite. And there's part of me that's like, man, Egypt wasn't all that bad, was it? Like, what the heck are we here for? There's sometimes I think those thoughts. And I constantly think of like that promised land, our building one day that God's going to make a way for us, whether we buy it, build it, it's given to us. Come on, I serve a God that owns it all. You know, however he decides to get us to wherever that is, whenever that is, I sometimes spend time looking back, and I probably spend too much time looking out front, but I feel like it's okay sometimes to just say, this is where we are. Embrace it. Enjoy it. You're building a story. You are. One day, when people are walking into our amazing campus with large, well-lit, amazing lobbies designed for us to build relationship with one another and hang out and have fun, and rooms that are designed for people to grow in their relationship with God, and places for us to worship together, and spaces for groups to gather and trainings to take place and for us to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of who our God is. Like one day we will do that, and other people will pile in and pull into the parking lots and park on asphalt with white stripes and curbs and landscaping and trees and sidewalks and the whole thing. And that'll happen. It's in our future as a church. You will have built that story. You will have been a part of what got those people there. And so why? Here's the point as I close. Why? Like, why not just stay? There's a lot of, and I say this, please hear my heart. I say this with all the humility I can, but there is a lot of pastors that would have been totally content to just do what we were doing over there. Just say, hey, man, we have multiple services and hundreds of people and woo, and be good. But there's a bigger vision in my heart. There is. There is. And I will not apologize because I feel like I'm called by God to chase that vision. So why would you do all this and that and property search? And you shopped for any property lately? Any structures? It's tough. I'm gonna tell you why. Because we don't exist to have services. That's not what we're here for. That's part of what we do, but it's not why we exist. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's why we exist. And I want you to hear me when I say that if that means that I need to lead us through a season of a wilderness, transitional season, I'm down. I'm 10 toes down to do just that. If that means that we need to invest millions of dollars into real estate and buildings, I'm all in for that. I'm down. If that means that we need to use every resource at our disposal and we need to do every, like, I just want you to know, like, I'm 100%, I'm all in, I'm down for what God is calling Church on the Rock to be and to become, because none of that stuff is about that stuff. It's not about the auditorium of the high school. It's not about our campus across the street. It's not about some future idealistic perfect place that one day we'll gather in. It's about the people that go in those rooms, those spaces, that have those interactions, that build those relationships. It's about those people that will encounter something bigger than us, that will encounter the true, one, living God who changes hearts and lives, who writes stories and creates generational impact when one heart changes. Yeah, This is why. And so I will personally sweat if they don't turn the AC on for us. I will wake up early and I will pull a trailer and I will unpack stuff and I will set it up and I will take it down. I will do multiple services in a small location. I will invest resources into a future location. I will do those things because I want to see people experience what I've experienced. And that is the transformative power of Jesus Christ in my life and in yours and prayerfully in theirs. And I just feel like this is what God wants me to finish with right here. And it's one verse. So here's what I'm going to do. This message, I'm going to preach it next Sunday. And then the message I wrote for next Sunday, I'm going to preach it the next Sunday. All right? And that's how we'll end our series at the end of October, October 30th. And I hope it works out. I'll just pray about it a lot. Romans 2:4. This is one of the verses I would have shared today. You'll get a full disclosure, and I'll unpack it into some detail next Sunday. But I just feel like maybe this is for somebody or somebody's in this room or even tuning in online, perhaps. And hello, everyone online. Sorry we didn't greet you. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says this. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Some of you maybe have heard the verse like this, that it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And I just hope that somebody's in this room. Somebody's in this room. It could be somebody online. I won't negate that ability. I really believe it's probably somebody in this room that had an encounter today. You had an experience today. You didn't have church. You had a God moment. Not that that doesn't happen in church. That's not my point. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But God did something totally different today. And I think he did it for you. Because you needed something more than status quo. You needed something outside of system. A sermon wasn't going to do it for you. But a touch from God was. An encounter with the Father was going to do it. That was what was going to have the ability to say, you know what, maybe there's more to this than I thought. Maybe this isn't religion. Maybe this is actually something real. Maybe there's something really, really true about knowing God. Finding freedom, discovering a purpose, and making a difference. Like, maybe there is something to this. And I just believe that God designed the whole thing for you. So, church, I'd love for you, if you would, to just bow your heads all across this room, everybody. Just bow your heads. Would you please, just respectfully, bow your heads, close your eyes, nobody looking around. Now, I'm going to do something else that we almost never do. And I'm going to ask you this, if you're in this room and you say, today, God did this for me, I'd love for you, can I just see your hand all across this room? I needed this moment. It was for me. Yeah. Yeah, church wasn't going to cut it. But an encounter from God with your church, that's what you needed. All right, all those hands down. And now I'm going to ask this, if you're in this room, and as a result of what God has been doing in your heart and in your life, as a result of something going on, and maybe it's been going on for an extended period of time, and today somehow has become the culmination of whatever it is that you've been sensing, feeling, but you know right here, right now, that this is your moment to say, I am going to step into a personal relationship with Jesus. Would you let me see your hand all across the room? If that's you, I'd love to see that hand go up. This is my day of salvation, that I will put my faith in Jesus Christ here today in this room. I see hands all over the place. I'd love for you. Yeah, yeah. Or you can put your hands down. Now listen to me very carefully, those of you that raised your hands. I'm going to I'm gonna beg you, please, would you follow up and let us know that decision was made by you today? There's two ways that you can do it. One way is, you may have been given a connection card when you walked into the room. You could fill that out and you can check that box that today I made a decision to commit my life to Christ. And when you walk out of this auditorium, there are green boxes by the exit doors. You can drop those cards in those boxes. That's one way. Or you can simply text the word reborn to the number 97,000. Here's why I would ask you to do that. Because I want to congratulate you. Okay, and we as a church, we want to like embrace the journey that you're on, because we've discovered something around here, and we've discovered this: nobody can do this on their own. Nobody. God has designed us for relationship, built us for relationship, called us into relationship. He calls it the church. That's us. That's us. We are part of the family of God here at Church on the Rock, and we would love to connect with you and help you in this journey of faith. Now, if you raised your hand, I want you to follow, repeat a prayer after me. And church family, you know how we do it. I'm asking everybody in this room, I want you to say it with me. Because some of them, you know already, they're saying it for the first time. So here's our prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Hey, well, can we stand and give God some praise this morning? Come on, let's congratulate those that made that decision.